Zog der Heilige Mishnah weiter, man sagt, es ist Bechoyreis, Perik Beis, Mishnah Dalet. Any behemoth that a Nachri has a chelik in it, the baby that's born, is not a Bechar. And here's one of the examples. HaMekabel, if someone is Mekabel, behemoth, in a contract called Tzoyin Barzel, literally iron sheep, min HaNachri. What does this mean, Tzoyin Barzel? Because Hashem Yisrach will be learning Masechtas Ksubis, and to some degree Masechtas Yevamis, you'll hear a lot about this. Basically, Tzoyin Barzel is another way of saying money-back guarantee. I give someone something, and he is responsible to make sure I get back the full value. Now, how can anyone be responsible? How does he know nothing's going to happen to it? Even if you do your best, an oinus can happen. Well, I may not get back the item myself, but he's responsible to pay for its value. So in a Tzoyin Barzel situation, we assess what the value is, and the understanding is that the man taking this is going to have to pay it back. Now, why is he doing this? Why should anyone take a pekudin under these terms? Well, the simple answer is that if the value goes up, he also only has to give back the value that he got. So he's taking a chance. If it goes down, the one who took this is going to have to pay out of his pocket. If it goes up, he made a profit. In our Mishnah, we're talking about a case where a person receives behemoth from someone who's not a yid, and the agreement is Tzoyin Barzel. He has to return the behemoth, regardless of what happens, and they're going to split the children. Let's say the Nachri gives the yid his behemoth for 10 years. So he assesses what the value is. And he says, look, within these 10 years, you have to pay me for whatever the value of these behemoths are. It makes no difference if they die the next day or the price of behemoths goes down. And all the children that are going to be born, we're going to divide equally. That's the agreement. Zok the Mishnah, again, HaMekabel, someone who's Mekabel behemoths, in a Tzoyin Barzel agreement, min HaNachri, he is responsible to return the base value. The din is pturin. The firstborn males that are born are potter from the Bechira, because we consider the Nachri a partner over here. Remember, he could take away these children. If let's say I don't have enough money to pay, he'll take them. I have to pay back for the original behemoth. Now, he can take back as many children if he wants to until he gets back the full value. So, for all practical purposes, he's a partner. If he's a partner, so it's pater and pcher. Zok de Mishnah weiter, but the children, taka, the children from the Tzoyin, they're pater and pcher. But uvlodei v'lodeis, the einaklach, so to speak, the grandchildren of the behemoths that I take, these behemoths have a baby and those behemoths have a baby, so chayav, they would be mechuyev and pcher. See, if I don't pay him back, he's going to take back the behemoth. If I don't have the behemoth for him to take back, he'll take back the children. But the next generation of children, that's already too far. And we don't say that it's mamish in the control of the Nachri. Zok de Mishnah weiter. This would be the third case. Hemed vlodois tachas imusein. In other words, it's a given in this agreement that the Nachri can take back his behemoth. He's extending it further. He would extend it further and even take back the children of those behemoths if he can't get a hold of the behemoth. Well, what if I make it part of the original agreement that he has 100% right to go straight to the children if he wants to get back his care and his principal? Could be the Nachri would do it anyway, but here I'm telling it to him outright. If there's any problem, you can't get back the mother, you can take the children. I'm like giving it to him on a silver platter, so to speak, the right to do it. If that's the case, Zok de Mishnah, Valdei V'lodais, then even the children. Of the children, Peturin would be Pater. See, we're trying to assess what is the Koyach of the Nachri. The Koyach of the Nachri, Vadai, is what's promised to him, and if he doesn't get that, he'll move on further than that. So if the mother is promised, we're saying he'll move on to those children. But the grandchildren is already too far off. But if he was promised the mother, or its children, if the mother is not there, and if he doesn't get the mother or its children, he'll also move on one more step. So in this case, even the Valdei Velodeis, the children of the original children, also Potter, because it's likely that the Nachri will extend one more step than what was clearly promised him, say, listen, Lamaisi, you owe me the money. I'm taking it. So he's called a Shutev. Valdei Velodeis Chayavin. But the next generation, the children of the children's children, the third generation, that's already a little bit too far, and here it would be mechuyev b'chayr. It's as if the Nachri has no shachas to it, or not enough of a shachas to it. So basically what we're saying is the Eved Kecham is going to collect his money. Even though certain things clearly he can take back outright, we go one generation past that, but not two generations past that. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says, afilu ad asara daris p'tur. If I set up a Tzayin Barzel agreement, then even up to 10 generations or even more are Potter and Pchayra, because the reality is, She'achri Yosan Lenachri. All of this is committed, so to speak. I'm responsible to return it to the Nachri if I don't have what to pay him back with. Basically, what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is, if I promise the mother, then it's the mother in all future generations, until he gets paid back. And if that's the case, it's all potentially in the hands of the Nachri, and therefore, it is Potter on Bechayra. Okay, so chazring over what we learned over here in Mishnah Dalid, we know that the Pchar of an animal that is partially owned by an Eved Kechavim does not have a din of Pchar. And here we have a Tzayin Barzel agreement. I am taking the mother animal, let's say the first generation, from an Eved Kechavim, and we have this agreement. I guarantee you're going to get back this animal I'm taking, and we're going to share the profit. So I take this animal from the Eved Kechavim, and then it gives birth to a male. It's Potter Amchayra, because we're pretty sure the Eved Kechavim is going to take that back if he doesn't get the mother. But the next generation is Potter. If I promise the Eved Kechavim, the mother or its children, clearly, if there's any problem, take them back. So they for sure are Potter. But in this case, even the next generation, even the Eindeklach, so to speak, would also be Potter. Because we're always extending it one generation more than the Beferish of promise. But the next generation, Valdei, Volodais, the children of the children's children, the third generation of children, they would be Mechuyev Imchayr. As we always take it, according to the Tanakhama, one step further than what Beferish he could collect, but that's it. The second step after what he can outright collect according to the agreement, and that is not considered enough of a shutif to say should be Potter and Chayr. Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. In a Tzayin Barzel agreement, you're supposed to return the mother. If you can't, it doesn't make a difference how many generations. He's going to take it. And that means he's enough of a shutif to say that it's Potter and Chayr.